Blog Talk Radio.
About 12 or 13. So they have a singing exactly what it's called.
At me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this mother,
what?
Just a swank in my hair. Trick, quit talking, crip walk if you down with the set. Take a for some grip and take this scoop on this jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if you happen to get cracked, trick, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the S, you'll be relieving your stress.
To come before you tonight because I'm really excited because God has blessed me to see another day as well as put some calmness in my spirit. And there's one thing about it, as I shared with several people and I post on Facebook, we lost a patriarch in our family, my dad. And I'm so glad to be blessed to have him to say that's my one and only dad, as I say. And I say we call him Pop. We call him Bay. We call him Big John. We call him John Wesley. And we just call him whatever we need to make sure. We're so glad that we had the time. He's 86 years old. He's moved on, transitioned on to heaven. So some people say, are you going to do the show tonight? I said, yes, we're going to do the show because my dad wouldn't let me do it no other way. That's the way he was. He keep on grinding, keep on grinding, son, because if he got something to give it to him. And I'm ready to give it tonight because we got an awesome night planned tonight. Our format going to focus on sports at a crossroad with all these things that are happening in America. Now, what's going sports going to be like in the rest of 2020 and definitely 21? He said 2021. So I'm so excited. So let me kind of give you some basic information so we can get started. I'm doing a couple things as I talk with you. I'm giving people these opportunity to be signaled in. I got people on Facebook all around. We got a room going. That's Dr. L. D. Alberto room.
Check it out. I send out
some flyers, send out some information to everybody know that we got this going on. We have some awesome people already on. Just checking us out. And I'm going to give them a shout out because, you know, I can't do it without making sure I shout out to people that's here. But let me give you some of the basics. If you want to be a part of the calling through the call-in number, you can call in 347-857-4192. Slow it down, 347-857-4192. And if you want to be heard, all you got to do is press 1. And after you press 1, I'll recognize you by the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to give your name and location if you choose to, then offer your comments your question or your expertise. If you want to go to the internet, you can go to the web link www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Wave Production. And you can check out tonight's show and all the shows that we have. We have right now right at about 250 shows all over the, you know, just being heard all over the world because we are international. Through Blog Talk Radio, we're just not local. We've been heard in 16 countries, including the United States. So I'm so glad to be blessed. God is blessing us. I'm so glad to have these individuals on here. I can see them smiling. They smiling. But I tell you, they bring light to my heart to have them on here smiling and enjoying the opportunity to be with us tonight live. And that's what it's all about. And you can be a part of this too. All you have to do is go on to Facebook and you just hit the join. I want to join you. Doc, I want to join you. Then you can do that. Just press join and all of a sudden it'll pop up and let you call. I send out several invitations, but you know how that goes. Sometimes some people see it. Some people don't. Had some people try to call in earlier, and I told them to call back. So I'm glad to be able to get this started. This is something we're doing new, I can tell you right now, because what we're doing, we're broadcasting through Blog Talk Radio. Then we're broadcasting through Facebook, actually regular live. Then we're doing it through the Creator Room, which is Dr. L. D. Alberto Room. You can see, you can talk and be a part of it. So we're going to have an awesome time tonight. I can tell you like this. Now, we have several people that join us as a co-host and part of the team that comes in from time to time. Sometimes I have to go solo. I have no problem because God bless me to talk a whole lot. I can run my mouth a lot, so there's no problem. So I can make sure I do that. But if you want to be tweet the show, you can do it. You can go to at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenzo B. Smith, at Elliot Dell with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven, at Coach with a K, underscore, L underscore Smith. And, of course, everybody says, Coach Smith, that's my daughter. That's my baby girl. So I'm so proud. She ain't the baby. Otherwise, she's my baby girl, and she's joining us on as a host. She come in from time to time. She's not with us tonight because she texted me right before the show and said, Dad, I'm not going to be able to join y'all tonight. But you know what? It's so good to have her want to be a part of it. It is special to have people that you love say, I want to do what you're doing, Dad. I want to be a part of it or whatever you're doing. So I'm so blessed. And I tell you, I'm just screaming with joy and happiness because God is blessing me in many ways and all the people around me. So that's why we're going to have an awesome show now tonight. Sports at a crossroad. Sports at a crossroad. We know what's going on in the world now. COVID-19. We have protests. And it's just, a change is coming. There's a song I played on my show Monday night. You know, a change is going to come, and it's coming very soon. And we're going to see some things happening. I see things each day happening as changing that we can see that we in this country, truly a country that allows equality to exist, justice to exist. And that's what it is all about. We have to fight. We've been fighting for years and years and years to get where we can see there is a future. And that's what we're talking about. But we're going to focus on sports as well. Now, let me talk about the team that's joining me, my normal team, and also the guests. I got to make sure I give them a shout-out. So they better get ready because I'm coming at you, and I'm going to make sure you talk with us and share some things with us. Now, join us from South Alabama, as far as the coast of Florida, Fort Walton Beach, all the way up to Montgomery, from Montgomery, Detroit, down to Dothan. He's our Don King of all things. He conducts that train that comes from Fort Walton to Montgomery, none other than our radio personality, Daryl E-Train Elliott. Man, I'm looking at so much stuff here. I got to get it right. E-Train Elliott. He'd be slapping me around right now. Come on, Fred. No, I'm the E-Train, man. I'm the conductor. He is the E-Train. Also from South Central Alabama. Join us. Retired from the Alabama High School Athletic Association. So proud to have this young man with us. And he enjoyed talking high school sports. And he always called in. He'll call in right at about 8:30 or so, so he can make sure he get his opportunity to share thoughts about high school athletics. None other than Coach Tony Testile Stalwart, the lady of the hour. And I talked about her for a second. She joined us because she's the only lady on this show, but she talks sport. We didn't give her a name. Her name is the Queen. Understand that she's the Queen because she can come at you hard, and she just take you to another level. And she's truly special to me, I can tell you, and to all of us on the show, none other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. And she's our millennial as well. Another millennial joining us, coaching over at Trenum Presbyterian High School. Young man, finished over there at Alabama State University, none other than Coach Cameron Gilmer. All right, now I'm not going to leave out this last person because he's so, so important. He keeps us rolling and going. He's called the King. We give him the shout-out to the King. He coaches up in Huntsville, Alabama. He's in possession of 6 middle school basketball championship girls, 4 middle school championship in basketball for boys, 2 middle school football championship. And we're so proud to have this young man, and we call him the King. And also, he has a slogan he always used. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. You know, he said for years everybody was chasing him. But now he got the gun for a million. He's chasing them now. None other than Coach Tremaine the King Edwards. And we're so glad to have those. Also, I'm looking at some beautiful smiling faces on my screen. So blessed to have them on. And I then checked this, come in, zoom out. But tonight they said we want to be a part of it tonight. And I'm going to start out with the lady that's of this hour. She's here, has that smile, and she's out of the state of Tennessee. And we want to make sure, well, at this time presently, and we want to make sure we give her a shout out, even though I know she know about around this area because I'm looking at what she have on her chest. She have a Carver Riverines shirt on, so we want to give her a shout out, none other than B.J. Jefferson. Thank you, B.J. How you doing?
Greg, how are you?
Hey, I'm glad. I'm so glad to have you. See, it's exciting. I try to keep it going. I try to make it do what it do on here. Oh, and we got a young man that's joining me. He's sitting there, and I was talking with him yesterday, and we've been communicating. We communicate just about every day we can. Yes, he's a member of my fraternity and my frat brother. And we are known as the one that made up 1983. You know, the guys who played in 1983. So glad to be. And I always call him my frat brother, my line brother. He said, man, you ain't going to be line brother. No, I love him. And he's also a minister, a social minister as well. Glad to have you, Minister Roy Kent. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, brother. Glad to be here. I'm just sitting back and enjoying, relaxing, enjoying the smiles. I just can't wait to get to hear what the young man's got to say about sports and the crossroad and crossing over to.
Awesome, awesome, man. I do appreciate both of you all. I'm glad. And I say everybody else has the same opportunity. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, all you have to do is go to my page. And then everybody say, what's your page? Facebook.com/DR. Oh, and like, what's that? Okay, DR Bercho Smith. So make sure you punch that in and do a Facebook friend of mine. You can go and you can search because I put it out there for everybody. I hear specific people, but it's there for you to check it. I can make sure again for you to be a part. So it's going to be an awesome night tonight, and I'm just so glad. Now, let me give a shout out, and y'all notice I'm going to get started with the show in a minute. And I'm sort of like kind of making sure my people called in. So, but you had to go through all the, what they call a housekeeping, to make sure you get it. We got several people on Facebook. They're not showing their faces, but they have their ears definitely to the stream and their eyes to the stream. We have hails from the state of Georgia, none other than Timothy Kenny. Thank you, Timothy, for joining us. Also, if you can check this young man out, he has a moment of spiritual music, and I'm so glad he's doing, none other than Marvin Lala Smith, good friend. We have Mackenzie Smith, my niece. Mackenzie, yeah, I'm so glad to have Brittany Mackenzie Smith. Thank you, Brittany, so much. That is my niece, my youngest daughter, youngest sister daughter. Also, we have Carol Davis. Carol joined us down out of out of South Alabama, but she's here in Montgomery, been here a while. Carol, thank you so much, part of the Davis family. And I have one of my sorrows who's calling off that East Coast, or who's checking us out on the East Coast, none other than Kim Ramsey, who's actually from Montgomery, Alabama. And she's up on the East Coast. Her son played at Alabama State University, finished 2 years ago. Now he's playing in the Canadian Football League. Karan Ramsey, thank you so much, Kim. Sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Kim Payton, out of Lowndes County. Thank you, Kim, for joining us. She's served in several capacity down there, but she's taking time to check us out tonight. Kim, thank you so much. We have another young man joining us, and he played football for me back in the day. So I tell you how young I am, back in the day. And down in McKenzie, Alabama, we were so glad to have young people that was excited about playing the game, none other than Tony Pierce. Thank you, Tony. And also my biological youngest brother, none other than Connie Lee Smith. Thank you, Connie, for joining us as well. And I know our hearts are heavy now, but, you know, God got us and keep in mind. So let's get to it. Several other people trying to get in here, but I want to get this show started tonight. Sports at a crossroad, what to expect in 2020. What we always try to do, we try to focus on certain topics because we are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So as we move forward, I'm going to kind of pull some political things in here when we're talking about sports. There's, in the city of Montgomery, there's been several schools that has names related to the Confederacy and racism some, and they're petitioning, there's a petition to change the name of three high schools that plays football, plays basketball, that's a part of the High School Athletic Association. We have the Sidney Lanier High School. I know I'm stumbling around that because I got my stripes there. So, you know, Sidney Lanier High School. We have Robert E. Lee High School. We also have Jefferson Davis High School. Those schools are petitioned out to change the name. They also removed the statue of Robert E. Lee from in front of Robert E. Lee. So we're getting some things. We're at a crossroad. Things are changing because schools been there like 100 years. I know for sure Lanier has been there over 102 or 3 or 5 years. And then you have Lee came into existence, I think probably, I'm going to say in the 50s. And I try to look back at my history. And I know Jeff Davis came into existence in 68. Or 69, because I know my oldest brother was the first sophomore class at Jefferson Davis High School, so his class graduated from there. He was the first class. So we know. Now, what we want to talk about, when changing the name of these schools, will that have a bearing on sports? Changing the name from Sidney Lanier High School, Robert E. Lee High School, Jefferson Davis High School, will that have a bearing on their sports, because we live by our identity. Will this affect their identity? Will there be a new identity they have to adapt to? And I'm hoping, like I said, my people are trying to get in, but I have people on the line, and even as the people come in on Facebook, and you can comment on it, what kind of bearing would it be when you change the petition to change the name and accept it, and they'll go from being similar near high school to Southwest High School. I'm just giving names. Or it'll go from Robert E. Lee High School, if somebody threw some up, which was still trying to keep Lee. And it said learning, excelling educationally. So they'll change from Robert E. Lee to just Lee High School. What bear? Then Jefferson Davis High School, as you know, is Confederacy. We know that. Jefferson Davis, you know, president of the Confederacy. You can remember, get your history, go back to the Civil War, and they're talking about change. I didn't say what they're going to change. That might be Eastside High School. What's your feeling in regards to sports? Because sports is about to change. Because it does. Identity goes along with history. Identity goes along with a name. What kind of changes may occur? Now, I'm going to kind of start this off, and I'll let the other team members that's joining us on Facebook offer their thoughts to it. I think it's something that has to happen, and I think it should have been done a long time ago, because I always ask that question, even though I come through that that system, meaning coming through where they had those Confederate generals and military people named on the school, finished the school. It's been there a long time. But I always ask myself, why couldn't it be other names, whether it was Fairview Avenue High School, where it was not Fairview, but Court Street High School, wherever it may be. I'm just giving names now. And we built ourselves because I did gave all my sweat and my tears and my blood at Sidney Lanier High School. Like 3 years lettered football at Sidney Lanier High School. Ran track Sidney Lanier High School. And we had this kind of pride, I can tell you, because I labored there, we'll call that we just wanted to be the best. And being the best, we related to what we had in the past, which several championship when we were not even a part of the school. Just remember that now. It was integrated in 68. A lot of the championship in football for Lanier High School was won way before that time. So that means it was doing segregation. But we still wanted to hold that up because we had pride in where we are. You know, we threw up the L. We was glad to throw up the L because we had pride. And we want our young people to develop pride. So my question to anyone who wants to play a part of this conversation is that, will that pride be lost, or do we have to get a new pride? And I'll let my team that's announced, I'll call y'all my team, is all right with y'all tonight. You know, so far to the other team join in. What do y'all think in regards to that? In regards to, is it going to have to be a new pride once they change his name? Or will it be no effects on them at all? BJ? RK? Either one of y'all, I'll give y'all thoughts on that if you want to. Okay, come on. What's your thought? Now, I'm talking to a Wolverine alumnus. I see it on my shirt, so if you wear it, Tyler, that means most likely you have some association. My mom finished with Carver High School, too, as well. So, you know, we have a little tie in that, too, as well. Just any thoughts in regards to that?
Like the teachers there.
Okay. Yes, sure do. I had an intern over there. I had an intern, so I saw her, and she directed me to a class one day. So, yes, I do know she was over there and works over there, and you want to be proud. But what would that do if it's, that's not your school? What if it was your school? They're talking about changing the name. And Roy from Parker High School up in Birmingham, I know for sure. So what do you think about changing? They would go and say, we're going to change the name of Parker High School. Will we lose the pride that we had before then? Or will we have a new pride in regards to that? Because this is what's going on, because these young people will have to somehow mentally address that. Whether we believe it or not, they're going to have to think about this. Say, will I no longer be playing for them? You know, who I be playing for? I don't know what the name is. Uncertainty. Just give me some thoughts on that.
Is it really going to be uncertain? They just the name of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, are they really just playing for that name?
Mm-hmm.
Or as a group themselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah, and I know what you're saying. That's one of all issues.
We can change the name, but we'll still be a team.
Team, that's right. That's right. So she just all, we want to address that as she's saying it. Is it just all about the name of the school, or are the young people out there playing this game because they're doing it as a team, they have goals set for themselves? Yes, they have it as a team, as a school too as well, because you talk about pride all the time. But with it, will they just adjust that pride and say, we'll have this pride for whatever name here, because we are here to play the game. We love that game that much. We're going to play hard. We're going to make sure we're still successful And I can really truly, this is my personal opinion, with I know we have with a lot of young folk being retired educated, it's sort of like they already have goals set. A lot of them have goals. They play sports. Eventually, I want to play on a professional level. That's all. Every one of them have that dream. I don't care if they 12 years old or they 10 years old. They have that same dream. They know this is a outlet, an avenue to get to that dream. So whether it's at that school with that name or another school with another name, it really don't make it no different. I don't think it's the same way it may have been. And I always talk about one particular school in Montgomery, and I'm going to bring up BJ, I'll bring up the school where your daughter worked at, Carver High School. They have a different kind of pride about Carver. I always say the alumni have a different kind of pride about going to Carver, representing Carver. It's like Carver is ingrained in them a little different than the individuals at the Jeff Davis, the Lees, and the Lanier. I personally believe, because I'll go back and give an example, and maybe people can remember, they was going to close down Lanier High School just about 10 years ago and combine them with Carver. Lanier alumnus didn't say nothing. I'm just keeping real. And I follow that kind of didn't say, okay, fine, you're going to do it, go and do it. But if we had to put that shoe on the other foot, if they went on, so we're going to close Carver and combine them with Lanier, oh no, that's a sense of pride. That's the sense that I'm going to support, I'm going to be here to the end. This is the kind of pride we're talking about, that it may not exist as much when we're talking about in another school falling that category as well. And that's, it's no longer actually a school, but you have alumni, because up until 6 to 8, there was an existence called Booker T. Washington High School. I know several people from Booker T. Washington High School. If you was talking about anything that was going to take away from Booker T. Washington High School, you almost had to put your gloves on, you had to go put your, get whatever you had, because their pride is in that. But when I look at the school where we was, when integration came about, a lot of us had an opportunity to go, because in 1968, I was moving toward, not in high school yet, I was moving toward, and that was integration. And it got to the 70s, we were still in that early time of integration. And we had to kind of adjust to what was going on. So my thing was, it's a different sense of pride at a George Washington Carver High School and a Booker T. Washington High School. It's a different sense of pride, because it was something, we're a little bit, we understand and we're committed to it, whereas we was in a situation that it was not so much that way. I'm getting some beats, I'm getting here and there. I thought maybe somebody was trying to jump in here, but it just get people beeping all over the place and it's trying to call, and that's how it goes. So I see it like that. Any thoughts from you all in regards to that?
I think that most of the kids that go to Lee are African American, are they not?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And they can't associate with him, but with who is it? No. What's the George Washington Carver. Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They can associate with those people.
Mm-hmm.
They will have more pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because the name.
Exactly.
I graduated from Booker T. Washington in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, it was BT, though. Yeah, yes.
Hey.
Yes.
We are Booker T. Washington warriors. That's what we call each other to this day.
Exactly.
Because we associate with that name.
Exactly. And that's a great example of it right there, being from there, because I had heard of Booker T. Washington out of Memphis, put out some outstanding athletes too as well, you know, through that manner right there, but they put out outstanding people and students. And I heard of it. It ain't the first time. I know and heard of the great work that's been done and coming out of that, which is a, you know, it's a sense to be named out of African-American hero, Booker T. Washington, that taught right at Tuskegee University, was the president of Tuskegee University, inspired us to move toward agricultural and mechanics, and with Dr. George Washington Carver right there along beside him when he was there. So our history, and we can relate, and it's understandable. I want to throw this out, and I'm looking at my friend brother because I know he's from, is it A.H. Parker High School up in Birmingham. And, you know, I don't know exactly who they are. Can you just kind of share who Mr. Parker was, since they named the school after him in Birmingham, and whether or not playing or being a part of that had a sense of pride and a great pride that you had when you was a part of that institution when you was attending school there?
They want to know you from high school. let you give them the name of them. I want you to give them the name of them. They're going to take the name of them and relate it to Pastor Justin Davis, Rocky P. Bill Gray.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No,
in Gray Hall. Yeah.
The names of our buildings over there, ASU, that's about the same. I remember taking a class over there, and we never thought about it, but most of the buildings over there are named after segregated white buildings. Mm-hmm. Now, there is one thing that's going on. Young lady down in Mobile that's trying to the tunnel renamed Well, you have to look at what your squad is doing. Yes, your squad is doing the same thing. Yes, your squad is doing whatever people want at the time. But again, going back to your tone, a change is going to come.
Exactly. Awesome, awesome, man. I tell you, that's kind of touching exactly what we're talking about. When the change come about, are we ready for the change? And I think we are ready for a change because we have lived 400 years of just being oppressed, 400 years of not allowing us to experience an equality, whether it's through education or whatever it may be, just basically a life of this. Now, this unfortunate moment to the family of George Floyd, we have to see a family member just put almost just it's hard to just think that because I've never seen that happen in my lifetime. But change is here, and we have to understand change is bring about better things for us. And we have to. We just have to continue to maintain. We have to continue to push forward. Don't give up because everybody said give up. We have to put our thinking hats on time. You know, we have to get out and we use protest sometimes. But we always got to work toward being ahead of the ball game. The wheels are rolling now. Don't stop now because you might get tired. If one get tired, move out the way and let somebody else step up in your place and keep moving. Or lift that person up and walk with that person because we got to learn to love each other, to take care of each other. And that's what it's all about. Yes, we're talking about sports and we're talking about a name at a school and the change of the name of school because it's not only happening here in Montgomery, it's happening all over the country. You know, we're seeing statues thrown in rivers. In England, you know, in the United Kingdom, a lot of things is happening. So what we have to do is brace ourselves to be able to move and be ready for change. And don't be afraid to share what you need to share with one another. And we got to make sure we can't get so out there that we don't think it's going to take everybody to do this job. And it's awesome. Now, the call-in number for you to be a part of the show is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and you can chat and talk with us. Let us know what your name or location is. I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell. Our telephone number then asks you to offer your comments or question about exactly what's going on. Now, I'm going to kind of change direction a little bit as we was talking about what's going on with the change of name. I want to really, really look at this. I want to look at what COVID-19, what effects will COVID-19 have on college athletes, as these athletes return back to the campus? Now, I know you have been, if you've been watching sports, there are about maybe 8 to 10 universities. I don't want to call out their particular name. I can. Local, like Auburn or Alabama. Students are returning, and they are testing positive for coronavirus. And something, and I'll take Montgomery. And being in Montgomery, and as we see the numbers in the last 14 days, up over 800. We're about 400 more than two of the largest counties in the state of Alabama. And the same individual are now heading back to campuses. And where you know, where they contract, we don't know, but we know it's going back to the college campus. That was one of the biggest fears, and I know everybody trying to play it down like COVID-19 is not here. It's still here. And you can't be afraid to be afraid. Somebody told me the other day, I was talking to one of the co-hosts and my family. We was using this mechanism, had everybody on the video, and, you know, they was talking, and I had my mask on. And he said, Uncle Lowe, why you still got your mask on in the car? I said, I don't know. It can seep through the vents. I don't know. I don't know. I want to be – don't tell me that would give me an opportunity to avoid it being – to get into the caudal cavities of my body to create a problem with me. And then if I don't use it to only certain times, I use it all the time. I walk out this house with it on. Somebody said, man, you don't need to have it on. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because it's a virus. We don't know. When you talk about virus is just like almost chemical warfare. The best way to do war is to put chemicals out there where you cannot see them. You can see a person, but you can't see the chemicals. So this virus here, and whatever they said, whatever they told, I believe. I'm believing. This is a host to me. You know? And you don't have to say that because of a certain age, I got to worry more than you do. Everybody needs to worry. So we're talking about athletes coming back to campus, bringing the virus with them. Now, yes, you tested those five, but who they was communicating for they actually went in there before the test? Because they didn't know they had it. They didn't know they had it.
You know what?
Good thought, because, you know, you can only be tested. You know how it was from the beginning, and you all can agree. You can only be tested if you're showing those signs and everything. But the thing about it, people can test negative and still be a carrier.
Right.
And we keep forgetting about that, and I know several instances here in this state, in that nursing home, where the nurse came in, no temp. She may have had a 98. Looking good. 2 days later, she was sick. But she also had an opportunity to spread that virus to those patients, her co-workers. So one of the things we got to be very concerned with as we see things develop from large gatherings of individuals, and I always have a problem. They get mad at me because they say, well, it's all right to be a large gathering at your family. But you got to realize, we all out among other people except when we come around our family. And you don't know who. So those players was out, and one player at Oklahoma State, one of the starting line All-American players, said that he believed he contracted when he was at this protest. Now, that's what he said. So I don't know whether it's true or false, but he didn't put it in the wind. Now, we got to remember that we're going back. So these players are coming back. The effect on being on football, we have to realize that it's a social distance. You're supposed to be away, but how you can play football and basketball away from each other? You got to be. They say it can't be transmitted through sweat, but it can be transmitted through saliva. And I know we do an awful lot as an athlete. And I know this man was a band man right there, the head drum major at Alabama State University. We spent a lot. You know, that's how we spent. And you remember now, the droplets, once they get into the air, remember that, it's there. So we're in a hurry to meet something that always concerned me. It's all about we're going to lose $95 million if we don't play football. We're going to lose quite a few lives if we don't, you know, if we do play football. We have to step in because we got another spike coming. And it's not going to be like people say, well, it's going to probably be in November. You know what? Cold weather coming all over this country at different times.
It don't need to be in November, though.
Mm-hmm.
You don't?
Oh, no, because you jumped the broom, then. I'm going to say. But the point is, y'all got to keep in mind that this can happen because this mutation is a different kind of mutation. This is not the same because you can look at your Lysol can. It's been fighting coronavirus for many years. Just keep in mind. Just keep in mind that we have to do. And these players, yes, we want to make the money. We want to reopen our state. We want to get our economy back working. And some of the cases at highest level, right here in the state of Alabama, when it reopened, and everybody act like, well, we concerned, but we ain't concerned. We got to make that money, and that ain't that. You know, that's what's important. No. I'm one for lives. I'm all about lives. One life means a whole lot to me. Maybe not to other people, but to me. So my thing is, why you got to be in a rush to do this? Because we don't understand what we're doing because it's taking a new type of mutation every time. It's changing, people. It ain't the same. It's not the flu. Somebody said it was bacteria. Oh, it's bacteria. No, it's a virus. It's a difference. People got to realize the difference between bacteria. And I was in the hospital today when I had to go up there, and I looked at the list that was checked off, and they checked off and seen the difference between bacteria and what it affects and virus. You know, sore throat associated with a virus, bacteria associated with strep throat. I just looked at the two. It was others, but it's a difference. And out of the 10 lists, seven of them was checked for virus, same we take for granted. And we have to understand it. And we're talking about sending our kids out there to play this game, to make the money. We're talking about being in sports, and people can agree or disagree that we've been used for years, the athletes being used to make all the money for our $1 million, $1 billion offers. We're there. Now they still want you to come out, even though you got a deadly virus out there killing people. They still want you to come and suit up for these universities so you can make money. That's That's what it's all about. It's all about money. They're ready to open these places up to make money. They say, even the governor said this really got me in her last reopening, whatever, safer at home order. The last one she kind of released state of Alabama, talking about governor. Kay Ivey. I'm going to say Kay Ivey. And somebody asked her the question, said the first time in March when you closed the state, you said if it got up to 100, you was going to close the state. Today you're reopening everything, we got over 500. What's important?
For the love of money.
There you go, for the love of money. And that's what our university is doing. So COVID-19 is going to have a massive effect on college athletics. We may even get to a sense in football, but I don't think we're going to get to basketball because that spike is coming. It's going to come. And we can say we want to, we ain't going to close the country down. But when it comes and it starts hitting not only people 60 and older, because I get tired of hearing that all the time, it only going to hit you high risk. I'm seeing people in 20, 30, 40, 12, 14, babies, everybody. It's a virus.
5 years in Detroit.
Yeah, 5 years.
Five.
Now, y'all got to.
And
her
parents were first responders.
Yes. You see?
And this baby died.
Some of the messages out there, you know, my hashtag, and I put it on there, stay at home and stay alive. That's the only way you can do it. People sitting up and talking about, well, man, we can't be fearful of everything. Oh, yes, yes, you can. This is something to be fearful of. You know, I'm telling
you. You don't have to be fearful of it, but you have to be wise about it. You know, if you know that there's a contamination going on at Walmart on the Atlanta Highway, why go out to the street? Well, I'm just going to run in and get the milk and chop on out. I ain't going to be contaminated. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, at an early age, if you play with fire,
Woo! You know, that's always their favorite thing at home. Mom always told you, don't you touch that stove. Don't touch that hot stove. Don't touch that pot on that stove. And you know we got some hard heads like me when I was coming up, hard headed. I'm going to reach up there and grab it. When I grab it, I'm going to scream and holler. And she's going to just tell you, didn't I tell you not to touch? So if you always know it's there and you know it will put you in some sense of harm, sometimes we have to think wisely and make decisions. With our athletes, we got to think wisely. You have to, and if as a parent, I'll say this, and I'm a parent of athletes and parent of my kids love everything, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. You can talk about they love everything. They like playing sports. They like doing everything. So the bottom line, as they come up, as a parent, I would just say, I'm not going to send my kids. I get my child checked to make sure.
That's right.
If you can do it at the university, you can set it up back and go get it done somewhere right here. Before he even set foot, because he had to travel to that campus. You don't know how he traveled. Just because he was scared to be that day don't mean he didn't come a day early and he hang around with other people, because they're still young people.
Yeah.
They're still young people. And we all was young one day. I'm not taking that away, but this is a situation that we have to – calmer minds have to come prevail. Smarter minds sometimes have to come prevail. And people that really think and caring, this is the most important thing I always say about people that care don't allow things to go for granted.
That's right.
When you care. Now, the people that don't care, now, when I say care, I mean care pretty much about safety and lives. When you care about money, you're going to do everything to make sure that money's available too. And you don't care about lives. So those are the kind of things we're dealing with, college athletics and the return to campuses. And it's so concerning. Now, another step I'm going to take, I'm going to kind of get off college. I'm going to move to public youth sports. It was just a push. Some parents, I never heard so many parents in my life say, I'm tired of my children. I got to get out. We got to get out. I'm like, I was in a line. I was, and a young lady was talking. She was saying, you know what she said? Well, she said, now, I just don't know how to teach deal with my child all day, because I've been had to stay at home. I got to teach him and I got to do everything. But you know what? Your child is sent to school. And your child, if you're getting you the counterfeits there at home, what you think they're going to do at school? I know. I dealt with them from kindergarten all the way up to where I'm president now, dealing with graduate students at Alabama State University. Proud to say I worked there. They blessed me to be there, to give me a chance to make enough gas money to put in my car. But the bottom line is children are children.
And you have one or two at home.
Yeah.
And the teacher has 25. So you have to deal with all of them. Mm-hmm. Then you have these parents who want to come up to get after the teacher because she tries to keep your kid in line.
Exactly.
So you can't do it at home.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder or not, I'm going to add a little part to the BJ. They don't want to do it at home. You can't be your child. You can't be your child again. You got to be a parent to them. You know, one thing about I always tell teachers, especially young teachers when they come in, when I'm dealing with those young teachers, I always tell them, I say, one thing, you're no longer a child, you're an adult. You're in a capacity as an adult. You have to make the decision as an adult when you become a teacher. You have to put away childish things. And you have to make it, you're not their friend, because first of all, they don't want no 24, 25-year-old friend unless you can do something to help them. They really don't have. They're friends of their peers in their age, which is whatever age it is. So don't get caught up thinking you're their friend. You're an adult. You have to make adult decisions. When we put you in charge of that classroom, you are to make adult decisions. You are not that alpha. So if we have to make sure we understand that, and I work with interns. I work with history interns and also special ed interns at Alabama State University. Get them ready for the classroom, doing the certification piece to get them there. And I always try to share, as well as the colleagues over there, that when you just because you had all the fun you wanted to have while you was on this campus, still in school, when you step through those doors or step across that stage and bear whatever they give you to say you are now able to be an adult with a college degree, you need to go out and you're not their friends. And I think too much of that goes on. We're not going to get off track, but the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure. I will make sure you get an opportunity to chat with us. Just give your name and location and just be excited about offering your comments and questions. Now, we're talking about public youth sports. And one of the biggest things I always was my concern about public youth sports is I don't think everybody in it for the right thing. And we'll just say it like that. And a lot of time, people in public youth sports, they're more in line to see what's going to benefit them because they may have their son and they're the coach. They may have their cousin's son, he's the coach. When youth sport, and I always said about that because, you know, I had an opportunity to do Pee Wee football when I first started out. And then I went there and I just moved up and been coaching all levels of football. And I always noticed that when I was a junior high, when I got kids from the Pee Wee League, you know, they was a superstar. But when they come there around other players who have played, they can't understand it. But I also noticed whoever the coach was and their dad want to go along with them. They want to be a part of the team. They want to keep so they can keep pushing forth on their child. What we're talking about, COVID-19, are we ready to put our children out there? I heard some things the other day about basketball, talking about AAU basketball, talking about getting started back up. And they were saying that the players may have to play in a mask. I told, matter of fact, my niece had called me, and I told her, you know how hard it is to breathe when you ain't in condition? Without a mask? How do you think it's going to be with a child running up the court with a mask on, trying to play basketball? What's the purpose of that? Is it to satisfy those people who invested their money through this AAU, through this YBOA? You know, is it all about the young people? A lot of times it's not about the young people. And I always said that because I had that same confrontation back in the day when I was working with my own daughter dealing with that. It was all about money. You got 21 players on one team. 21 players on one team. And you only play your 5 or 6. So to me, you're taking the other 14 and get their money. You're not letting, and you go play a tournament. We go to Tennessee up in Chattanooga, up in that area up there and play a tournament, and you only let 5 or 6 of them play. You got 21 players. And you got to play AAU, they might play 3 games in a daytime and 2 games the next day, you know? But you only let, why you have those 21 on there? And I always said, I think this is to help develop children. And I always tell parents as I was coaching even the last, before I retired at 16 from down in Lowndes County, Hainesville, I had the middle school girls and the boys. And they always would tell me, you know, coach, you got no players on your team. What you going to do with it? I said, one thing about it, they made my team, they're going to play. You can't learn how to play the game sitting on the bench. You have to get out in the war, get on the floor, make mistakes, because that's what it's all about. And youth sport, even with dealing with COVID-19, we have some concerns. Are people concerned more about playing the game in this time where we have these safety issues and the health situation going on? Are we willing to, truly willing to just sacrifice our young people just for the name of the game? It's changing times. Mm-hmm. We at a crossroad. Mm-hmm. Parents got to make a decision now. You got to make a decision.
It's hard to breathe with a mask on, running and playing basketball and football. It would be very, very hard.
It's hard to breathe sitting up in my car with it on. I'm just saying, I'd be holding on. I'm like, whoo, whoo. But I'm just saying, if I'm running up and down that floor with a mask on, I'm just saying, you want to have safety. But the best way to have safety is try to get more clarity on what we're dealing with. Come up with the best measures. Don't be in just a hurry to get individuals out on a baseball field, out on a softball field, or out on a football field to just get them out of your house. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Are we here to make sure our children really, if we're in youth sport, we're learning something that's going to help them develop later on in life? It ain't all about them playing in professional life. If people talk about, I want to play, every player want to play professional. I said that earlier because I talked with them. You know, I was the career tech director down in Lowndes County, and we go talk to 13, 14 years about what you like to do. Would you like to get into some career-related area, you know, a pathway that you want to do? I'm going to play professional basketball. I said, y'all know how many players they got on each team? They got 13 players. Professional basketball, 13 players. How many teams you have? Okay, 30-some teams. Just think about how many players there is. You don't even want to work on your skills. You want to come here and use practice to work on your skills. You know, if you want to be good at this game, you got to spend a lot of time working on homing in on a particular skill. You know, I look at some players, and I look at Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman wasn't a great shooter, but he did what he did special, which was what? Rebound. He rebounded.
Good stuff.
He hung around, and he played good defense. I tell young people now, if I identify that you're strong in that area, work on that if you want to get to the next level. Your next level might be high school. If you're in middle school, in high school, it might be college. It might be in the pro. Because it doesn't matter what school you go to. If you work hard and you're successful, the scouts will find you. That don't make no difference. But it requires a lot of hard work. We talk about Michael Jordan, and I know I heard the story. I coached with one of the guys that was his coach in the 10th grade. And people don't, you know, they heard it. So Mike Jordan was cut on his sophomore team. But you know what he did? He came back. He worked hard. He got bigger and he got stronger. He grew in the process. And look at it. Look at the man. He's bigger now. Because he took that skill and he used it. He took that cut, the day he got cut, to make him a better individual. And his daddy also was there in part. His family was part of it. And we always keep in mind, make a decision in public youth sports for your children, but be a part of making that decision. Don't let the coach make the decision for you. You have to do that. Because one thing about it, I always tell people, your child can come from there, and if he's hurt, the coach ain't taking care. You won't take care. Just remember that. You know, if he ain't had nothing to eat, you going to take care. Just remember that because that's your responsibility. So make the right decision. No matter how mad, because if the parent in the home is the adult in the home, if you don't think it's comfortable enough to put my child out there while COVID-19 is going on, don't feel bad. Don't let people pressure you to do that. Because that's a great resource, which is our children, is a resource that we must take care of. The resource we must help guide. We have to do that. But that's what it's all about. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll be able to chat with you. We're going to take one more topic because it's already, y'all, I tell you, 9:03. Normally it's an hour. But I don't mind going a few. I always set it up for 90 minutes anyway, but I just try to stay within the time frame. But it's one particular thing I want to talk about because this is in relation to the SWAC, the Southwest Athletic Conference, which is a historical black university conference, as well as the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, which is another historical black college and university conference. That was a major turn of the tide happened the first part of the week. And that turn of the tide was that one of the most well-known universities, the one of the Ladenfield Championship University, decided to leave the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference and move their membership to the Southwest Athletic Conference, which is the SWAC, which is Florida A&M University. That is a major shift. People had to keep in mind, that's a major shift. And we just want to make sure we keep that in mind. It's so important that change is coming. That's another change. Sports is at a crossroad. Historical black colleges and universities at a crossroad because now we took one of the major universities from off the East Coast and put it in truly, truly the bed of college football. The SWAC Conference among Historical Black Colleges and University. It's going to be exciting. We were so glad that he made the decision to vote to come to the conference. They won't come to the conference till 2021, but they're getting themselves. Matter of fact, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference will lose two more individuals from their conference in 2021. That's North Carolina A&T, and they also have lost Hampton University, and they all going to the Big South. So now there's a struggle and a fight and a pull and a shove to see who's going to help make up that conference. When you lose North Carolina A&T, which is a major university, especially football, athletic-wise, Florida A&M University, which is a major athletic conference, played outstanding football, and then you lose Hampton, you have lost some major, major players. The SWAC has made a major move. Now, if you want to share any thoughts about that team, you can share your thoughts. What's your feeling on Florida A&M moving to the Southwest Athletic Conference?
Well, I think
we just want to make sure, okay? We just want to make sure it is understood that this is a major change. This is a shift. Sports is at a crossroad. What to expect in 2020 and 2021. You will see a lot of changes, and that's one of the things that we're talking about. And it's so good to have this opportunity to talk about what effect that it will be on the MEAC. We know it's going to take the strength from the MEAC, but it also strengthens another historical black college and university conference, which is the SWAC. So we're excited to have FAMU, welcome them, and we look forward to the SWAC growing even more because there's a good chance that Florida A&M left that conference, and one of the major reasons why they left is travel because from Tallahassee to South Carolina State, Tallahassee to North Carolina A&T, Tallahassee, which is FAMU, over to North Carolina Central. Those are good Hampton, which have them move. Howard University, it's a long distance. Whereas now, Tallahassee to Montgomery, Alabama. Tallahassee to Huntsville, Alabama. Tallahassee to Jackson, Mississippi. Tallahassee to New Orleans. Tallahassee, which is on I-10. All they got to do is get on I-10 and lay it down. They go straight into New Orleans. So the change is good for FAMU. It also will be good for Bethune-Cookman. They're going to be left there as the only college that's down far south that's trying to travel up the East Coast. So we'll look to see how things happen. That could be another power move that's going to happen with Bethune-Cookman leading the MEAC to come to the SWAC conference. So coronavirus has brought this because financially these universities are being hurt because they lost money during the spring. Now a lot of them are cutting out sports. Now they got to think about travel. And that's why they're not able to travel where they need to travel. Mm-hmm. So they're moving close. So we have a lot going on. We're at a crossroads. So excited to be able to talk about what's going on. We have a lot of things that we wanted to talk about, but our time is slowly slipping away. I do appreciate each and every one of the guests that joined me tonight. And we didn't talk about how this change we're having with the protest and our fight for justice, equality, how it's going to affect even locally. If you're in your city, if you have a school or have a monument that has a Confederate general or someone who served in the Civil War from the Confederacy side, that's a sense of racism. That change is coming on. You just get ready. A lot of more of them going to tumble. A lot of them on college campuses change. Will change too, because I know for sure both on both campuses, Bill Grave is held up at Alabama A&M and also held up at Alabama State University. H. Trenum Council, also at Council Hall, is also Now, that would put a ban on Trenum Community College as well, because it's named after H.C. Trenholm. So we got a lot going on. Just get ready. Change is coming. We're at a crossroads, sports crossroads. We got some awesome things that's going to be happening. But we're going to be talking more next week. We're going to kind of do the same thing. Yeah, I truly, truly appreciate everybody joining us. Special, the guest is on in my room in Dr. L.D. Alberto room. I appreciate everybody having that opportunity, the guest, and I thank B.J. Jefferson for joining us. So graciously, she joined us. Thank you so much, BJ, as well as Rory Kent Sr. Thank you so much, my brother, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. And you have several other people join us, and I give a shout out to them before I close out. And again, thank you all so much. People on Facebook, let me give a shout out to Odessa's Blessing, and we know who that is. That's Kevin Nunn, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. He's on that 83 line. Go ahead on, my brother. 83 line. So I call him. He's on that 83 LV. Thank you, 83 LV. Also, Shanita Anderson Mitchell. Thank you, a friend of the family. Thank you so much. Valerie Jackson. Thank you, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Kim Sellers Bates, thank you for joining us as well. And a good friend, a co-worker that worked with in Lyles County, he's over there in Atlanta, Georgia now. And so glad to have him on here. Martiz and we is Laquan Stewart. He's a principal of one of the middle schools over there, and he's a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, but he's my brother, I tell you, because we went and did a lot down there together. So I give him that shout out. Thank you, Laquan, so much. Yvette Smith, thank you so much for joining us as well. That's my youngest sister. Thank you. Coretta Barlow, a cousin of mine, Coretta Barlow, first cousin. Thank you so much. Also, we have Connie Smith. I mentioned my youngest brother, Tony Pearson. I coached him down in McKenzie and taught him history. Kim Payton, thank you so much, Kim, out of Lyles County. My sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Kim Ramsey, thank you so much. Carol Davis, thank you. We have Mackenzie Smith, that's Brittany, my niece, thank you, out of Georgia. Thank you for joining. Marvin Lala Smith, thank you so much, here in Alabama. And Timothy Kenny, a real good brother of mine. He's a brother in Christ and also a brother in Phi Beta Sigma. We give him a shout out, Timothy Kenny. She's a minister over there. We thank you in the Georgia area, in surrounding Atlanta area. Thank you so much for joining. It's been awesome tonight. Again, my guests, I thank you so much. I give you the praise. I'm going to give you a shout. Thank you so much, BJ, for joining us, as well as Roy for taking time to join us. We had an awesome time on Talking Sports tonight. My hashtag, and I always try to keep in mind, and I want you to keep in mind, stay at home and stay alive. Second hashtag is keep on growing. And something my dad always told me, keep on grinding. And I'm truly trying this time. Hard it's to a point that it's weighing heavy right now, but it's hard felt to lose such a hero of mine today, but you know, God has a better place for him. So we tell him, but he said, keep on grinding, and that's what I will do. This vision will keep on, this vessel will be used, we're growing in all kind of ways. Thank you so much. I said, thanks, Dad, for doing all you could do by preparing us for these days and to be the best we can be. Also, my next hashtag is so important because we need to do this. As we go through the protests, as we go to the fight for equality, as we go to the fight for justice, communicate for understanding. You have to be able to communicate. I have to know how you feel so I can really educate you if you are of another race and you can educate me as well. We have to communicate. That's the most important thing coming out of the protests or coming out the masses marching. And we have another thing. Let's include the masses that was out there, the warriors that was 17, 14, 16, 18, 20, 21, 22, 25 out there marching in the masses. Let's include them in everything we're doing. Make sure we have them as a part of it because they need to be a part of the decision making because our days are long behind us. We look for a lot of them ahead of us. But the thing about it, they got a lot of days ahead of them, and they have to live with the decision they make now when they become young people or people of wisdom, which is when they are at that age to make those decisions. So they need to be experiencing this, and we know it will be a change. That's why I said change is coming. We just got to get ready for it, and we got to include the young people because they're the one out there marching. They're out there by the thousands. Let's make sure. So communicate for understanding number four. And I always tell everybody, last but not least, I give my shout out. But I'm not going to do it quite yet because I want to share our show tomorrow. We have an awesome show planned for tomorrow, which is the Love Cafe. And I'm the host of that show. And the acronym for love is L is for listening, O is for overcoming, B is for valuable, and the E is for expectation, excitement. That's what love is all about. It's a cafe. We're going to have a menu filled with the appetizer, the starter, which is the lust. We're going to talk a little lust for you. Then we're going to jump over to the entree, and we're going to look at, say what? Going to be the attraction, because that's what it's all about. You look at that steak. Just go there to the restaurant. I order something. That meal, that big piece of meat is what? It's the entree. And then we have last but not least. We have that, oh, come on now, you know that part of that dessert. Oh, that sweet part. You ask for something sweet, and we're going to give it to you because we're going to give you the attachment. We're going to make sure you can be attached enough to know you're a part of an awesome menu at the Love Cafe. We're going to have an awesome time at 6 o'clock tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook as well. We want you all to join us at that time, and we look forward to truly, truly a blessed rest of the evening. And like I tell you, you know, it's something you might make sure you tell your family when we was all confined and stuck in the house. I need to hear this and you got to hear this. Tell them you love them. Just tell them you love them. And that's one of the things we have to make sure we do because you know what? We know no day is promised for us. So just keep that in mind as we move forth with life. And I'm going to give my shout out as soon as I find the right music to play because, you know, when I say I love you, I want this to be a steady love. I want this love to last forever. So that's why I said, so emphatically, I shout it out and I make sure I said it because this is my steady love for you. I love you and I'm thank you guys. Have an awesome night.
The way that he looks at me when he holds my hand. He wants everyone to know I'm his woman and he is my man. We can talk about anything. He's got nothing to hide. He's not afraid of his feelings. He's not a slave to his pride. He's giving me love so steady. He touches my heart. Touches my soul and my spirit. He's given me love so steady.
Love me so steady. Ooh, steady love.
truth to make a life. Cause he's a perfect compliment. Cause I'm a boss in my world. But when we're together, he just makes me feel like his girl. He's giving me love so steady. He touches my heart. Now I'm ready. He touches my soul. Make breakfast on Sunday and fight and then make up again. Cause if life's gonna be crazy anyway, I wanna do it with him. Daddy love.
Lost my wife, my car, my home. I almost lost my mind, yeah. Oh, Lord. My wheel was tested, got arrested. It's hard to keep me from crying. Oh, yeah.
If you ever walked a mile in my shoes,
ever walked a mile in my shoes,
you would see what I've been going through. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never really meant to hurt you.
I never meant to hurt you. Oh, no.
Just
no.
The thing that I've been going through.
Lost time, lost money. Oh, I lost it all. Yeah, I almost lost my way. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Well, I heard the very one that believed in me. Oh, oh,
oh, Lord.
I lost my whole damn family. And you don't know what it feels like to walk in my shoes.
If you ever walked a mile in my shoes,
hey, 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 hey,
you would see what I've been going through.
You would see what I've been going through.
Yeah.
Oh, been through some pain. Yeah,
I never really meant to hurt you,
and I never meant to hurt you, girl. I've been going through some things in my life, yeah. Try to walk a mile in my shoes. Oh, yeah. Oh. Never meant to hurt you, girl. Never meant to hurt you, no. I've been going through some pain.